Hey everyone, I'm Brian.
And I'm Slippy.
And this is Snorkeling with Narwhals, and we are recording at night. Well, kind of. I mean
it's almost... the sun is out here.
Yeah, I guess technically. I don't know when the sun goes down right now.
Well, you're in Erie, so it's, you know...
But you're in Pittsburgh. You're, like, directly below me.
Well, you get that lake effect.
Although, lake effect sun.
You probably... Well, no, I was more referring to it being overcast all the time. But it's overcast all the time in Pittsburgh, too.
Yeah, it is overcast right now. Well, anyway, yeah, we are recording at night. I think this might be the first time we've done that. So here's hoping that we either stay on the rails or go off the rails in a fun way.
Indeed.
I've got a Mountain Dew, Maui Burst, for those who are wondering.
And yeah, I think normally I'm drinking coffee during these. I'm just only water right now. So
I need to start drinking more water.
Yeah, it's bad. I had a bloody nose the other night, and it's just like there's no excuse for it. You just have to drink water, even though it's, you know, the most boring beverage in the world.
Are those related?
Oh yeah.
Water and bloody noses?
Yeah, if you're dehydrated, you can get them.
So I should probably then find the clip of where I had a bloody nose at Baron when we were doing an episode.
If you have that, I'd be shocked.
Oh, I do have it. So I'll have to find that and just insert it randomly in here. But no, yeah, I never knew that it was water-based. So maybe that time when we were doing one of my radio shows, I hadn't had enough water, and that's why my nose started bleeding and I had to leave you in the studio alone. You're listening to Psalms and Songs, just the songs. I'm Brian.
And I'm Matt.
And that was Chris August with I Believe, and I think my nose is bleeding.
Are you serious?
But
I can hold it from here.
We will get you to the music quickly so I can go work on my bloody nose. Here's the song 1989.
Well, it took me, if it makes you feel better, it took me until like 2 years ago to figure this out. And I mean, maybe I have a history of, or something bad with my sinuses, I guess. But yeah, I get them. I used to get them all the time. And then somebody was like, why don't you just drink more water? And then I did. And now I get them. I don't know, maybe quarterly, let's say.
I do remember one time when I was little, my brother and his friend Matt were, well, at our house, and Matt had brought his Nintendo 64, and he had Pokemon Stadium, and I wanted to play it so bad. I was like 5,
mm-hmm.
And they said no, and I basically tantrumed until my nose started bleeding, then they let me.
Right. What Which can is you a say perfect to a, segue. A crying and bleeding 5-year-old?
Right. Like, how do you say no to that? But that actually leads us into today's topic. We are talking about video games. We've had this one in the hopper for quite a while, but I'm really excited for it. We're going to talk about kind of our personal histories of gaming, how we started and stuff like that, and then where we are now with gaming. So I will start off. My first experience really with video games, I don't think it was the bleeding Pokemon Stadium.
I hope not.
Story. No, we actually, me and my siblings, we all got a used Nintendo Entertainment System, like the original, just from some guy in Erie, like, you know, back when the paper still had like the ads that people were
like
selling stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was an NES with like a ton of games. So there was Mario and Duck Hunt, except we didn't have the gun. So we had to borrow it from our neighbor. Mario 3. We did not have Kirby. We had some Wolverine game. Wow, we had so much and I can't remember. We had some weird game called Totally Rad. I don't know what it was about, but you could morph into things and that was pretty fun. But no, that was our first foray into gaming. Actually, prior to that, when I broke my leg when I was like little, our neighbor let us borrow their Nintendo. So that was probably the first foray into gaming. But we got
There's
our
like
own
an
eventually.
Injury theme here.
Yeah, apparently. but no, that was the first one. I mean, you know, it sounds stereotypical, but like, yeah, like I was a kid, I enjoyed it. Like, the original, at least Mario's 1 and 3 are great. I've never played the second one, but that was my first system. What about you?
So it's an interesting question. I think, like anybody, some of my earliest experiences are actually like on old dial-up computers, you know, like that your parents owned. And one of them, I do distinctly remember playing some game where I was searching for diamonds on a loading screen that, like, my dad was downloading this big software. And in those days, it took like 2 days with the computer turned on. And so they also gave you like this game to play while you waited. And so that's like my very earliest memories. And
it, did you ever consider that the game was part of why it took so long?
I know that, yeah, it's like that computer could only process like two things. I'm sure I lengthened the amount of time, but yeah, so things like that were pretty early experiences. But similar to you, Nintendo was also my introduction into like console gaming, if you will.
Yeah, you said you had a story about this. Yes. You told me a little about it.
So not through the newspaper, but the story is that a friend of ours up the street, a neighbor, he got an N64 from his parents for like Christmas or something. And then he decided he wanted to sell it to us either that year or the next year for like $30, which was a steal. For an N64.
Yeah.
And he gave us all the games with it too. And I don't know what that was about. It may have been some inner family feud thing, but we got the console and we loved it. We had it for 1 month. And then his mom told him that he had to get it back. So, you know, to his credit, he gave us the money back. And we gave him the console back. So basically, you know, I for free got an N64 for a month, which was, you know, a brief foray into the classic games on there, like Donkey Kong and stuff. So that was fun. But yeah, most of my experience until owning a console, we got an Xbox, which I'll talk about, was actually up at a different neighbor's house playing on his N64 and then his GameCube and then his Wii and so on. And so, yeah, that was sort of most of my game playing through childhood.
Yeah. I will say after, and that made me think of, I had a friend sell me a Game Boy game once for like $10. I did not, like, no one got in trouble for it, but I'm like, you know, why were we just wheeling and dealing video games as children?
It's crazy because like your parents probably dropped pretty good money to give them to you unless you had saved, and then otherwise it's like you saved up your own money and yeah, that it would have been, yeah, a lot of your personal money,
yeah,
at the time.
But yeah, no, I remember it was the Pokemon trading card game for the Game Boy, which leads to probably one of the best, if not the best, gift that I ever got besides the gift of life, I guess. But
well, let's not take that for granted.
It was a Game Boy Color with Pokemon Crystal for my 8th birthday in 2001. Pretty much the coolest thing I've ever gotten. And, like, obviously other consoles have, like, come out and are better than that, technically. But, like, I'll always remember that one. And that is, I would say, top 5 game of all time.
Wow.
Like, Pokemon Crystal. Amazing. So, I mean, because that was the second generation of Pokemon. There was Gold and Silver, and then Crystal was like, there's always a third one that comes out, and Crystal was the third one. And I remember I saw like a bundle ad in like a Toys R Us ad, and I was like, that's what I want. Yeah. I don't think I'd ever played a Pokemon game before. I don't know. I guess I just decided I liked it because I liked Pokemon in general. But no, that game was incredible. So,
well, we lived, I mean, what a time to be alive whenever there were ads from an actual toy store that you could go visit and like go look at them, hold them, and like the ads, you could circle them and say like, look, yep, mom, look, dad, this is what I want.
Yeah. Like I say it all the time. I know every generation thinks like their stuff was the coolest, but I really do think like the 90s and the early 2000s like were awesome. And you're right, unless you saved your own money, which if you're a kid, like I didn't have the like wherewithal or patience to save money for a game.
Right.
I was one of those kids who like I would just see a toy in the store and I'd want that, so I'd get that. And my parents smartly kept that savings account away from me because an unfettered, well, I guess 8 to 10, whatever year old with that would have been bad. Yes. So I was like, well, I guess I just have to wait for like Christmas and my birthday. But yeah, you're right. There was no like, you know, it wasn't this immediate instant gratification. You had to wait for it. But Pokemon Crystal, man, that was... Did you ever play any of the Pokemon games?
So nothing on Game Boy. I never had one. Obviously, I knew tons of people of our generation had them, and I never actually owned one. Spent very little time playing on any because it's, you know, it's a personal handheld device. So, like, people are sort of jealous for the time with their own. But I mean, it's so funny because I heard you say Crystal and I was like, wow, that it's like it's pulling it right back for me because it that game landed so big at the time. It was probably one of the most anticipated games.
Yeah, so I don't know so much that Crystal was, but Gold and Silver were. But yeah, because I mean, I've read up on this stuff, you know. Pokemon Red and Blue and Yellow were huge. Like, they were huge.
Mm-hmm.
And they might have actually topped it with Gold and Silver. And you're right, the anticipation for it was, like, it was insane. And a lot of times games won't live up to that hype, but these games are so good. Like, I was just reading an article about it. So, you do the whole Pokemon thing. There are 8 gym leaders, you know, you train all your Pokemon, you beat all the gym leaders, you beat the Elite Four, you become the champion. And then you get to go to the region from the original games. And there's 8 more gym leaders and the Elite Four and a champion. So it's basically 2 games, which like now, like, I mean, that, like,
they'd release it in 2 parts and charge you double for it.
Yeah. I mean, there'd be like DLC, and I mean, there was a Pokemon DLC I just bought, but
that's a whole different complaint in the modern context is the release of incomplete games. I mean, that's an area where we were spoiled for sure. I mean, maybe not spoiled. I guess it was just it should be the norm.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion.
Well, I mean, yeah, like I was talking to someone at work about it today. And do you know the game No Man's Sky?
I don't.
No. So it's, I don't remember, I think it originally came out for the PS4. Mm. So we're jumping up to like current-ish times now.
Oh yeah, we're going to be moving.
We're jumping all around, yeah. But eventually they released it for the Switch. And so I got it, and it's awesome. It's like a space exploration game. You do like mining, and like there's like some space battles, and it's just really fun. But I remember reading up on it before it originally came out, and like the hype for it was huge. And when it came out, like, people were upset because a lot of stuff wasn't in it that was promised.
Right.
And so they've been updating this game for like the past 8 years. And people, they're really happy with it now. Like, but like it was, it's kind of like you said, it was an incomplete game.
Well, in 8 years is like forever.
That's forever for a game.
Yeah.
But yeah, and you know, back in our day, it's like you had the game, that was it.
Yeah, and I think it was all contextual too. Like it sort of depends on your friend group, what the anticipated games are, what you played, or among siblings. Like my siblings and I spent so many more hours on racing games, you know, like car racing than other games, and other people spent a lot of their time on things like Madden, which I never got into, which is funny because, you know, I'm a late bloomer football fan.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I never got into that. Didn't do any of the hockey or FIFA or any of those things. So, yeah.
Well, so I'm going to, I think, I'm trying to remember which I had first. It was definitely the Game Boy came after. I think this was like 1999. We apparently were tired of the Nintendo, so me and my siblings got a PS1. And this was like the smaller, like slimmed down version after it had been out for a while.
Right.
And I will never forget, each of us got a game to start. Mine was Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. My sister's was Spyro 2.
Oh, yeah.
And my brother's was Medal of Honor.
Oh, you got them all.
Dude.
There it is.
It was awesome.
those three games are amazing.
It was awesome. That's an all-time console, too. I mean, the PS1 was a game changer. Like,
yeah,
out around it? Like, the N64?
Yeah, it was. So it was PS1 against N64, and that's a great topic. So PS1, N64, and basically nothing else.
There's a Sega console.
There was a
too.
Sega, but that was earlier, I think. I don't know if it was considered a competitor or not.
Yeah, if it was a competitor, it wasn't a great one.
No, but then, you know, again, PlayStation punching above its weight in the next generation. I would say by a good ways, PS2 was probably better than, you know, any of the competition in terms of game library. And I think PlayStation continues to have a terrific library.
They nail it. I do remember my brother got a PS2, and the first game he got for it was Grand Theft Auto Vice City. And I was like 9 years old and I would play it.
Yeah. And you're like, hopefully my mom doesn't come in the room while I'm playing this game.
Yeah, I mean, oh my gosh. Like, you know, when parents complain about the violence in those games, like, they're not lying.
Yeah, Grand Theft Auto is probably, that was like the game that hit peak popularity and then also was right around that time when people were super concerned about violent games.
Yeah.
And it happened to have that. It was not like objective, like Medal of Honor. It's like,
right.
You know, it's
right,
just,
like Medal of Honor. Like, yeah, it was a war game, but like, right, you weren't like
committing crimes.
Heads off.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't graphic in that way.
It's one of those. It's like cognitive dissonance where two things are true. You hold two beliefs at the same time. It's like, yes, this game is incredibly violent. Yes, this game is awesome.
Like, right.
Both right. things are true. I just probably should have been playing it at 9 years old, but I turned out okay. Kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I say too.
You said you had an Xbox. That was a big deal. Because yeah, the big fight was PS1 versus N64.
Right.
But then Microsoft got in on it.
Yeah, Xbox was huge. So yeah. My family got an Xbox, our first console, when I believe I was in sixth grade, which I did some math and that seems a little late, but it wouldn't be that surprising if it had been out for a year or two.
Yeah, that's usually how we did it too.
Yeah, I mean, you save a little bit of money, and at that time we really had no concept for how quick they were going to release new consoles.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was revolutionary in our house. I mean, we got that for Christmas, and I mean, me and my brothers spent so much time playing it that we had to be limited on time, you know, and it was honestly a little bit late for me. Like, I am the worst easily of all of my brothers at pretty much any video game, and I'm worse than most people, even of like our specific age group, my grade, if you will. So it's definitely due, I think, to being late to owning my own system. And then, you know, also just not necessarily as into like binging games.
Yeah.
Like a lot of my.
So did you guys play Halo, I'm guessing?
We did. Yeah. Not early on, though. So there were certain game limitations that my parents set.
Okay.
Yeah. But we played a lot of Star Wars focused games early on. I know the game, the console came with one. I think it was just called Clone Wars. We like drove ships around and blasted each other. And for me, that's actually been the theme ever since, is it's always social. I don't really enjoy playing campaigns. I'm not really going to sit down and just play a game by myself. And so that's another area where I just tend to not be as good at games, probably because I spend less time unless I am sitting next to you or I can play online. I probably won't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I probably went through a phase there where mine was mostly Pokemon. Like I said, Crystal, and then when I got a Game Boy Advance, it was Sapphire, which I will also hold as a phenomenal game. They remade it for the 3DS a couple years ago, and I mean, it was longer than that, but I got it a couple years ago, and I was like, I remember all of this. But, so we were
on the Pokemon subject. I actually just saw somebody wandering around our neighborhood with their phone, and they had the look about them.
Were they playing Pokemon Go?
And I was like, this game surely can't exist anymore. Like, nobody's playing that, right? And so I asked, and this kid was playing Pokemon Go. And nice. And I was like, I thought that was a phase back in like 2017, 2016 maybe.
Yeah, 2016, it was huge.
It's an old game now. I mean, I didn't know. He indicated that there are still like gyms and, you know, people playing and stuff, but yeah, it blew my mind.
Yeah.
But that game, I mean, talk about taking the world by storm.
Well, and what was kind of cool about it was that it was a mobile game.
Right, and sort of social. Yeah, and it was free. At least, I think most of it was free.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm sure you could pay for stuff, but... Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we, you know, I had the Game Boys. And we were a PlayStation family. And we had a Wii, which led me to the wonder of Mario Kart Wii, which is just an outstanding... That's another top five game. Whenever I would play it, though, with our friend group, I was, like, the only one who wanted to use the wheel.
Mm.
I don't know why. Like, I thought the wheel was a lot easier.
Did it give you an advantage?
I think it did. Maybe psychological, but I think it did. So we had that, but then eventually we got an Xbox 360, I think because my brother had one, and because it was starting to become clear that some of the games we wanted, they didn't make for the Wii.
Right.
Which, that's a common Nintendo problem anyway.
Like, it really is. And even category of games, I would say, if you only live in the Nintendo world, you are probably, like, you're not experiencing gaming in the way that everybody else talks about it. You are gaming. It's just different.
Yeah. Yeah, and Nintendo has, like, incredible first-party, like, characters and titles. Like, probably better than Sony or Xbox have. But yeah, it's way more limited. So I remember, though, we wanted it specifically because they were making a Lego Marvel game.
I did some of the Lego Star Wars games.
Yeah, the Lego games are really fun.
They're really
but they're more fun when you play quality with someone.
Yeah, my brothers and I, you know, there's always somebody around to do them, you know.
Yeah,
chase painting,
like,
kits
really,
and stuff.
They are made for kids. Like,
oh yeah,
it's one of those, like, older people, like teenagers and adults, can enjoy them, but like the puzzles are really simple.
Right.
Like, it's clearly made like so children can play it, but then, you know, there's so many characters to collect, you want to collect everything. But no, we made the mistake, though. I don't know why we got an Xbox, probably because my brother had one. I don't know why we didn't get a PS3.
Okay, I would not call that a mistake, just because, you know, as I said, basically born into the Xbox family. And yeah, 360, I mean, that is when we turned it up for sure. Like Halo, Call of Duty, Ghost Recon, Medal of Honor, you name it. I mean, I loved that system. I actually own one still. I bought it as an adult because I was like, this is it for me. I'm going to get Xbox Live. I had Xbox Live until last year on 360, which is super, like, that was super niche. I think it may be, for me, it's diminishing returns now. I'm looking at consoles and I'm kind of like, it's not that much better than what I had then.
So I went further. I got an Xbox One.
There you go.
I remember this was a full-time job that I worked at for a month. Shout out to Logistics Plus. You're the worst employer ever. But you did allow me to get an Xbox.
I don't know who they are, but screw you.
No, it's, I mean, it's, it was a bad match. I did not fit in there at all. But I did get to buy an Xbox One. That was worth it. Like, Madden on that was great. And I do love, like, football video games. I mean, NFL 2K5 and NFL Street 2 for the PS2, those are probably two of the greatest games ever. Madden has been basically trying to catch what 2K did almost 20 years ago since then. But yeah, so, you know, I had that one, and then it eventually died. And so I did, I upgraded to the Xbox Series X with their stupid naming. I hate, like, it's hard to keep track of what's what.
Yeah.
But I will agree with you now that I think that it's definitely diminishing returns, because it's like most of the stuff I play on that is stuff I played for the Xbox One. Like, I have a couple games that are specifically for this console, but, like, the Madden that came out last year was really disappointing.
Right.
Actually, what I've been playing mostly is the Batman Arkham trilogy, which was for, it was originally for, most of it was for the 360. They released one for Xbox One and then remastered the first two.
And it's pretty full, right? Like, it's a pretty full game. I mean,
it's incredible. My brother-in-law, he said he got it, like, before, like, when the pandemic started, and he said it was awesome, and it was on sale in the Xbox store. And you need to play them.
What, you mean you didn't have to go get, like, a disc and, you know, a box that it came in and all that stuff?
Yeah, right? No, I think I might have been a little slow to fully embracing it, but I'm super for digital games now. Cause it's like,
instant gratification.
Well, yeah, and people are like, well, what if you lose it? It's like, it's in the cloud. Like, so if it, like, if, you know, maybe you'd lose your save file, but right, you can always reinstall the game. Like, you own it. It's
you own it. And if you, I mean, if that happens, I mean, then everybody else is experiencing that too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But no, I mean, so Arkham Asylum is the first one, and I mean, it's awesome because, like, it takes place in Arkham Asylum and on the island that it's on. But what's really cool about it, like, the combat is, even though all you're doing is, like, hitting X to punch and, like, Y to counter, the animations they do with it make it look really cool because you're Batman.
Right. Right.
So you're doing flips and, like, you know, just, like, it's so much fun. And what's cool is that because it's just Arkham Asylum, the setting is kind of small, so they'll reuse buildings later on in the game. But stuff will have happened since then, like poison ivy's plants will have, you know, overrun it, and now you have to find other ways around.
I like that kind of thing in a game.
Yeah, it was, the story's great. It had, you know, Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill as Batman and the Joker, which for most people that's like
nostalgia on like steroids. Like, yeah,
like, that's like the animated Batman and Joker,
right?
So my brother-in-law was not wrong. So then I started the second one, which is Arkham City. And I was like, all right, you know, this one's supposed to be better. And at first it's like, meh. You know, it's more open world. It takes place in, like, in the game, it's like part of Gotham City has been sectioned off into a prison. So it's a lot of open world. And at first I was like, I don't think I like it as much as Asylum. And then by the, you know, once you get into it, you're like, this game is just as good, if not better. Like, the villains in it, you know, that you start to get into some of the weird Batman villains, like Mr. Freeze and, you know, well, they say Ra's al Ghul. I always said Ra's al Ghul.
Ra's al Ghul, yeah. Yeah. And that's what they said
that's
Begins.
What they say in the movies.
Yeah, but, so you have to stick with it.
Yeah, but in the cartoons, they don't. But yeah, so it's, I'm now on the third one. Well, the third one is technically Arkham Origins, which is a prequel.
Hmm.
But that's made by a different studio. So like the trilogy is considered Asylum, City, and then Arkham Knight, which is the one I'm on now. And you get to drive the Batmobile in this one, and it's pretty cool. But yeah, I haven't gotten super far in that. But I can, like, without reservation, recommend the first two as, like, definitely, like, 9 out of 10 stars.
Hmm.
Like, it's incredible.
Not 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I mean, every game could be better. Okay. Except Red Dead Redemption 2.
That one's a 10 out of 10 for you?
Have you ever played it?
I did one time. I don't know. I never owned it. Yeah.
It is. So I'm one of those people where it's, like, it's an open world game.
Mm-hmm.
So once, you know, you complete the opening missions and stuff and you're allowed to just roam around, like, that's what I love to do. Just, like, get on a horse.
That's a whole phase now, I feel like. Everybody has just moved into that. I mean, almost every franchise is trying to go that direction, too. Yeah.
Last Pokemon games did.
Mm-hmm.
But no, Red Dead 2, like, I mean, and then you feel bad because it comes out that they, like, overworked their animators and developers, like, ridiculous overtime hours.
It was bad.
Like, yeah, I mean, you can tell because the graphics are incredible. Like, the gameplay is incredible. Like, everything about it is perfect. It really is. So that is actually probably, in my experience, the best game ever. I mean, it's not my favorite game ever, but, like, it's probably the best.
Was that IGN?
That's Rockstar.
Oh, okay.
So, Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, no, Red Dead 2 is awesome. That was a random one.
Yeah, I was wondering if it was maybe Activision. I just saw that they I think today, it's been going on for a year and a half, they're getting bought out by Microsoft.
Yeah, what does Activision own? Is that
so Call they're known Duty? For Call of Duty.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
that's their big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's so a big deal.
Everybody's up in arms about it. Yeah, I mean, it basically Microsoft is of course trying to get more market share and buy up development and all that stuff, which is good for them. And they were being blocked basically because it was like are you going to have a monopoly of some sort? Is this monopolistic tactics? And I think, you know, they ultimately won that just because it was, I think you can make that claim for any major, like Sony, I think.
Yeah. Does similar, I mean, things. Like, is it a monopoly? Like, yeah, probably.
Well, and I think one of their concessions was like, we're going to give, I think it's crazy. It's like Nintendo and PlayStation get to have Call of Duty for the next 10 years or something. So
yeah, that's huge, because I'm really mad because Sony has the Spider-Man games,
right?
Which yes. are basically like the Marvel equivalent of the Arkham games,
right? And there's like, no competition on that end,
right? Like, I want to play it so bad.
Yeah. I did play the one of those early Spider-Man games, and it was sort of that open world concept, you know, you're just swinging around New York.
The 2002 one, when the first original movie came out. Yeah, and you could, people would joke, like, you know, you're just swinging around on nothing. Right. Like, you've got webs hanging from just the thin sky. Air.
Yes.
Yeah,
you could get it to glitch where you could, like, kind of swing out over water and there's obviously no buildings there and stuff.
But no, that's the one I want to play. So I think, do you have anything else to add, or we've got a couple teases of stuff coming up.
Yeah, I guess, you know, as far as, like, present day stuff, you talked a little bit about what you're doing now. I not so much console anymore, because I think I sort of dropped that I have not kept up with modern day consoles, but on my phone, I'm playing a Mario game, playing Mario Kart Tour.
Nice.
I've been doing that for like over 2 years now. Got me through the pandemic.
Any version of Mario Kart is,
it's so good. It's a free game and it's just so good. But I'm playing mostly on my PC now through Steam. So nice. do you do any of that?
I have a couple games. My computer is not really like capable of handling much, so yeah. I don't really play much.
Mine either. Yeah, I play well, this is the tease, I guess. I play
this is the tease.
Get ready for it. I mostly play a game from the 90s called Age of Empires.
And I didn't know it was that old.
It's old. I'm not clear on when Age of Empires 2 came out, which is the one that we play, mostly my brothers and I. But it's sort of a timeless game. It doesn't require a lot of my computer, which helps. And
yeah, that's definitely good.
I'm still not very good at it, but there's a very live and vibrant community that is playing this game, which
that's
is
great.
You know, great. I mean, there's a few games that do that throughout history, but yeah, it's so fun to have gotten in early when I was playing video games, like, you know, on the old staticky monitors and stuff.
Yep.
So yeah
so the tease here, let the good audience know.
Okay, well, I don't know if they're good, but no, I intend to wrangle my brothers and get them all to do an episode on Age of Empires specifically. So if you're into that, stay tuned.
I think we mentioned it in the the NFL offseason episode. Mm-hmm. I think we briefly touched on it, but yeah, that's gonna be a slippy centric episode. I will be in the background producing, but that other than that, that's you, man. That's you leading that episode. And then my tease, it is now live. The first episode is out. Snorkeling in Popcorn, Brian Goes to the Movies, my spinoff of Snorkeling with Narwhals, where I talk about movies that I've gone to. So the first episode is up on its own feed and on the Snorkeling with Narwhals feed. It's about Creed 3. I talk about it with my sister. And so the plan is each Snorkeling with Narwhals and Snorkeling in Popcorn are going to release an episode every 2 weeks, but it's going to be staggered. So, you know, Snorkeling with Narwhals 1 week, then Popcorn the next, and Narwhals, Popcorn, so on and so forth. But yeah, we've got some things brewing. But yeah, that's going to do it for today's episode. I'm Brian.
And I'm Slippy.
And this is Snorkeling with Narwhals. So I was like, wow, my brother-in-law was not wrong. Excuse me, I burped.
Well, let me start. What do you say to that? Bless you.
I don't know.